Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, June 20th. Glad you are tuned in and listening to Light and Truth Radio. I'm glad to be able to send out these messages to you. Well, I hope you had a great weekend and a happy Father's Day over the weekend on yesterday as well. We had a good time here at the Lord's house at the Island Ford Baptist Church, and we're blessed of the Lord. I want to thank our good people for coming out yesterday. We had a good time fellowshipping with the saints and a good time studying the Word of God together and the preaching of the Word of God and singing the songs of Zion and hearing the good testimonies, meeting some new folks as we had some first-time visitors, and then we had some visitors that have been here before that was with us. It's a blessing to have Brother Hall and Mrs. Hall back in our services after a long illness. I'm glad they were better and able to be with us yesterday morning for the preaching hour. And I want you to keep them in prayer that God continue to touch them and help them. Also pray for them about the selling of their house and situation there, that God would just work in that according to his will. Amen. Well, we had a good time down in Paducah. Really, we were in the Bardswell area and Cunningham area of western Kentucky at the Mayfield Creek Baptist Church on Thursday and Friday. Brother Terry Norris is the good pastor there. We enjoyed some good preaching and good fellowship and being there in those meetings. And I thank God for bringing us back safely as well. Well, we got a couple songs and then the message from the Word of God. All right. I hope you enjoyed those songs. And now it's time to look in the scripture. Last week we completed chapter number 4 of the book of 1 John, but this week we're going to look back there one more time. I've actually got a sermon from verses 17 through 19, and I'm going to be speaking from these verses on the subject of fear. I'm going to be talking about fear. My title for this week's sermon is really this: there is no love in fear, and there is no fear in love. I'm going to be talking about the fact that it is a natural principle that love conquers fear. A natural principle. Love conquers fear. We're going to be talking about that on today's program. And actually today I'm going to be telling a story about Franklin Delano Roosevelt and his conquering of his own fears, and then his statement to the nation about those same things. And then we'll be making the scriptural principle application. I hope that you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. 1 John chapter 4. I finished up chapter number 4 last week, but I felt like I need to come back here and deal with two or three of these verses again this evening. Well, God gave me the thought, and I thought, well, while I'm here, I'll just deal with them while I'm here, and then we'll move along to chapter 5 in days to come. But verse number 17, 18, and 19 of chapter number 4 is what I want to deal with tonight. And so the either-or studies of John, the last two, we dealt with the fact of love and loving God. Tonight I want to deal with this. I've titled it, Love Has No Fear, and fear has no love. Amen. And I believe that's shown in the scripture here. Love has no fear, and fear has no love. Verse 17 of 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. As I said, these verses, we've covered them, looked at it verse by verse. I'll do a little bit more of that tonight if I can. But let me just start off. I'm dealing with this thing about love, and I'll just start off putting it in our perspective so that we might be able to understand it. When children are small, many times they're overcome by fear. When children are first trying to make that great leap from crawling and pulling up to taking some steps,
when they're making that leap of going from home to school, if they have to go to government, some people call it public. The public don't have any say in it anymore. It's a government school. But if they're making that leap to go into school, they have to leave the home. That there can be a lot of fear involved in a lot of things that children have to go through. Wise parents, when they see their child in fear, they don't just say, be confident. They don't just say, toughen up, be strong. You know what they say? They say, you'll be all right, I love you. They recognize that love conquers fear. Amen. Love produces confidence. Dad can get the boy to do some things that others could never get him to do because the boy trusts Dad because he loves Dad and he knows Dad loves him. Amen. You can turn that however. Mom with the daughter, even mom with the son, those things are true. And when that child is overcome by fear, mom and dad try to present love to that child, even a little baby. Sometimes babies just awaken fear. They're shocked with fear. What does mama do or daddy do? They don't rush in there and say, be confident. I'll turn the light on. They won't no boogers get you with the light on. No, they come in, they wrap their arms around them and say, shh, shh, shh. It's all right. They let them know there's somebody there that loves them. Again, I'm going back to it is a natural principle that love conquers fear. It does it over and over again. Amen. I can remember as a little boy, we had, you might think this is strange, but it's the truth that growing up, we rented until I was in kindergarten. And the house that we rented when we moved, the last house we rented didn't have indoor plumbing. We may have had water in the kitchen, I don't remember, but we didn't have a toilet in the house. Amen. One fellow said, boy, things has changed. He said, you used to go in the house to eat and outside to use the bathroom. He said, now you want to eat out in the yard and go in the house to use the bathroom. But we had an outhouse, and I can remember, I don't know how far it was from the house, but in the dark, it seemed like it was a long way. And I can remember how fear being there, but I can also remember Dad either saying that he'd go with me or Mom saying, I'll stand here on the porch and watch for you. As long as I knew they was there, I knew everything would be all right because they wouldn't let anything get me because they loved me. Amen. And so I'm just saying love. I'm just using a natural principle that love conquers fear. Now here's a true story from the history books. A man by the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, we know him as FDR. He was America's 32nd president. He had distinguished himself as a graduate in Harvard University, entered into public service, rose to position as a state senator, and served as assistant secretary to the Department of the Navy. Seemed like nothing could stop FDR from rising in politics and rising in his prominence, but something did stop him, and it was polio. He was hit with polio. Now, a lot of the people that voted for him again and again and again never knew that, but it was true, and it stopped him for a space of time. They said that when he was attacked by polio and could not walk, and by the way, you remember that that was a dreaded disease in those days, that people dreaded that coming on, and it was, of course, crippling, physically crippling, but it was mentally crippling as well, a disease that would come in. And they said that when FDR first got it, he entered into a deep state of depression. He thought that he would never overcome his paralysis of fear, not his paralysis of polio. He thought he would never learn to walk, but he did. You know how he overcame it? He overcame it by pushing himself and learning to walk with those braces and using his hands to carry out important tasks. Matter of fact, he was so stout, and I'm not a big FDR fan. I'm not here to brag on FDR. But when they would stand him up out of his wheelchair before they'd make the speeches, and he had the ability to stand there, had the strength in his arms and the strength in him to be able to stand there and move around, and nobody or very few people even knowing that he was crippled. He had worked up that energy and that strength as he had conquered that fear. But they said that even after he'd learned to maneuver himself like that, he had a nagging fear that he'd be trapped in a burning building, not able to get out, and that there he would die in his fears. He thought that he would never overcome it. But 11 years after polio struck Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he stood and delivered one of the longest inaugural addresses that's ever been delivered in the United States of America. And in that long inaugural address, he had a memorable phrase that you remember to this day. He said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Delano Roosevelt was dealing with something about fear. He's going to deal with some things in his presidency. I'm not a big fan. I'm not railing on him. I'm just saying that's where a lot of the big government ideas came along, and we got attached to them. And once people get attached to them, they never seem to get away from them. But he did help get us out of the Depression. He did help us through the World War. And he did have a lot of things involved. He had to face those things. He became a world leader, no question about that. And he became a very courageous man. I'd say a man of courage in spite of his fear. Now, here's why I'm going that route today. It's just laying the ground. It's not the way I normally preach, but I'm laying the groundwork about this thing about fear. There's a lot of people gripped with fear that if you can't see past the veneer, you'd never know it. Just like Mr. Roosevelt. He had strength of arms. He had strength of character to some degree. But he had a nagging fear. And in human hearts, I'm afraid a lot of people today live in fear. And I'll have to say with good reason. If you look around what's going on today, the last several years have been very difficult years. The Bible said they're perilous times. That means difficult times. These are dangerous days in which we live. When you look around the world community, of course, now we got 24-hour news channels. Not one, but multiple news channels. We've got the internet. We've got all the kinds of media that are just pumping news all the time. Amen. And telling us about all the problems that are in the world. But when you think about the rise of terrorism, you think about the fear again of nuclear weapons. We just talking about in the prayer room, all these missiles, Russia, South Korea, or North Korea, Iran, America, all these missiles that are around China with nuclear warheads or nuclear capabilities, and a lot of fear that could grip the heart of men. We're living in a time of unprecedented natural disasters. Earthquakes in divers places. Tornadoes where they've never been before. Typhoons and all kinds of things that are spreading across our world. There's wars and rumors of wars. Seems like everywhere you turn. I'm just simply saying we're living in a world of turmoil. There's problems in the economic front. All kinds of economic downturns. There's anybody could have a good job today and go to work tomorrow and realize they don't have a job anymore. And so when we look at all these, and by the way, there's normal ups and downs in life. But we're living in a time of a roller coaster of those, it seems like to me. And so there's no wonder that a lot of people, their faith grows weak and fear grips their heart. Turn to Luke chapter number 21. I'll show you what our Lord said about that as I get ready to look at the text we're dealing with in 1 John. But Luke chapter 21, there's two verses stand out real prominent. Our Lord's talking about the end times. Luke 21 corresponds to Matthew 25 as far as our Lord's sermons are concerned. And in this sermon, he's talking about the end times, the latter days. And he says in verse number 25 of Luke chapter 21, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon." You know, this month, we'll have a pretty major sign run across the United States that God can blot out the sun. They say, "Oh, it's just a natural thing." I realize it is, but it's also let us know there's a God of nature too. He controls that kind of stuff. Amen. Amen. I know they've got all kinds of reasons to laugh it off, mock, and poke fun, but I'm telling you, just as sure as you're living, one of these days, God will blot out the sun. One of these days, the moon will turn to blood. One of these days, those signs are going to be real. And God's just telling us, you better be ready. You better not wait till that time. You better be ready today. Amen. Let me get back there. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. There we are. The sea and the waves roaring. Look at this. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Amen. Men's hearts failing them for fear. I remember the first time I ever heard the phrase heart failure. That was one of the leading causes of death in men, adult men, was heart failure. Today, I don't know, I didn't look up the statistics, but it may very well be that cancer and other things may have overcome that. But men's hearts failing. What's it failing for? Fear. We've got a new word for it. They call it stress. And it is stress. But it has the idea that it's the same thing is fear. Stress wears you down. Stress weakens you down. And that's exactly what fear does. Now, here's something else thinking about. And I read this. I put it in my notes because I thought it was pretty interesting. We're living in a day when in the West, that's the United States in particular, life expectancy has really grown from what it was just a few years ago. And yet, although we see that we have more health gadgets and health gimmicks and health things, it's the sickest society has ever been. Amen. A journalist by the name of Bob Garfield. I don't know what he worked for, but this was done back in the, actually in the late 90s, early 2000s. He tracked health articles in the leading national publications. And here's what he determined. He said this, and this is a quote, according to the experts, 59 million Americans have heart disease. 53 million suffer migraines. 25 million have osteoporosis. 16 million struggle with obesity. 3 million have cancer. 12 million have severe disorders such as brain injuries. Adding all these maladies together, and he found there's a shocking 543 million Americans who are seriously ill. 543 out of 330 million Americans are seriously ill. That's all of us, twice almost, amen. Now here's what he said. Either the figures are wrong or we got some really sick people because a lot of them's got more than one disease. That's how that comes into play. But I thought it was amazing that 543 million out of 330 million are sick with a major sickness. Well, we have to admit that we're living in a world that can very well be dominated by fear.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message throughout this week. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.